somebody, love somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now.
You can't beat the memories you gave to me.
Take one fresh and tender kiss.
You can't beat the memories you gave to me.
And one stolen night of bliss.
You can't beat the memories you gave to me.
One girl, one boy, some grief, some joy. Memories are made of this. You're nobody till somebody loves you. You're nobody till somebody cares. You may be king, you may possess the world and its gold, but gold won't bring you happiness when you're growing old. I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you.
So lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know,
I only know,
the passing years will show.
The passing years will show you kept my love so young, so new.
Time after time,
you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky.
You just heard some of the great music from Dina Martin, and she has CDs like Memories Are Made of This and Valari, and you can also learn a lot about her and her dad and his friends from a book called Memories Are Made of This by Dina Martin with Wendy Holden. It's a foreword by Jerry Lewis, and I am completely, I got to tell you, fascinated by this book. I sat and read the whole thing. And all, of course, there's also, in addition to the CD and book, there's also, of course, the rest of the Dean Martin variety show. You know, a lot of the kids out there now, Dina, they know the Dean Martin from the Dean Martin roast, which kind of led to a, you know, a regular roasting thing that's still on television.
I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize that, and you detail it in the book, that the show did incredibly well, the Dean Martin variety show, the Comedy Hour, and all the shows that he did. But toward the end of one of the successful runs, they started putting roast pieces at the end of the show, and that ended up developing into the most popular segment and became the shows that became roasts.
That's exactly right. They had no idea it was going to become that popular. And everybody wanted to be on it, and it's just, it's remarkable to me to watch them now. You know, I mean, they were clean, and they're hysterical.
That they were. They were clean, they were hysterical, and they had people like Orson Welles on them. I mean, you know.
I know. Orson Welles, and, you know, and Billy Crystal, and, you know, and Rich Little, but Angie Dickinson or Lucille Ball, and it was, you know, and of course Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis Jr., but it, and Muhammad Ali. It was just, it's wonderful to watch. We still watch them. You know, I put one of those on and smile. But now with the new Dean Martin variety show, that's terrific to be able to see all those production numbers and Dad singing with those incredible artists. It's just so much fun for me.
I will tell you, I invested a fortune in the videotapes of the the roasts. I have pretty much the entire set.
Well, we don't have anything like that nowadays. I'm really getting tired of reality shows.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of television. There's really not much on.
Yeah, it's true. It's a shame.
So it's nice to be able to go back though, and to buy the Dean Martin variety show, and get some, you know, looks at Jack Benny and Bob Hope and Rodney Dangerfield and Sammy Davis Jr. and Andy Griffith and Florence Henderson and Jonathan Winters and Phyllis Diller and all these people that you haven't seen for a while.
I know, and the list goes on. It's so so great to watch Florence Henderson, and she is a dear friend of ours. But boy, was she wonderful and just so happy and up and made Dad smile, and it was just great. Seeing them sing and dance, and I think in the one segment they fall down together at the end. None of that was planned. You know, Dad did not rehearse.
Yes, he took it and wung it, and it worked.
Yes, he did, and so he was just. There was no one better than Dean Martin at doing anything like that. That gorgeous voice, and he was so handsome. And he had that smile on his face and that little look in his eye. Oh gosh.
Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by the entire book, mm-hmm. from your childhood to adulthood. You've had some fascinating trips, I got to say.
But yes.
You know, a year and like 5 or 6 days after you were born, your parents got divorced.
Uh-huh.
He moved in with Jean.
Right.
And there's a moment in the book where you were moving around with your mom. Your mom had some issues.
Yes.
And you moved around all over the place, barely getting a meal.
Right. You know, going so many places, you know, and it all happened. It's so sad. So people don't have any idea. They just think I was, you know, born Dina Martin, and then everything was rosy.
Not true.
No, it's not true. But people go through this in their life. Everybody has different, you know, stories of their life, and you have to take it a day at a time, and actually, you know, walk in the other person's shoes too. You know, I did not write the book to be, it's not judgmental about anybody. It's just true, and it's my life, and everything can become wonderful. Life, things are thrown at you, and just the way you choose to react to them that changes your life.
I thought that there was a moment in the book here. And you were a youngster. Your Aunt Ann dropped you off at Dad's house with Jean.
At 601 Mountain Drive.
Right, 601 Mountain Drive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous home. She drops you off. Mommy's gone, and all of a sudden, there you were with a schedule packed with school and swimming and tennis and dance lessons and bike riding and ice skating and horseback riding, and you write. Our overwhelming emotion was of huge relief that we were now somewhere so wonderful without having to eat leftovers out of the refrigerator or spend the evening with her in bars. If I ever missed her, the cuddles and the kisses, the familiar scent of whiskey on her breath, I retreated to my own silent place within myself until some member of my new extended family dragged me out. And you also mentioned shortly thereafter, without even thinking, I slipped my little arm around my new mother's tiny waist, we're talking about Jean, and leaned against her for a cuddle. From now on, Dina, Jean told me with a surprised smile, returning my squeeze, everything will be just fine. It seemed like a turning point in your life, that whole moment.
It did, and we were at Capitol Records, I remember, and everything changed. Because in the beginning, you know, we went to live there, and of course, our clothes weren't there yet. Mm-hmm. And so I would sleep in her little baby doll nightgowns and everything. And I had never been away from my sisters. You know, we had always slept in the same room together, and they were older than me. And I remember being up on the banister and getting hives and crying and saying, you know, I didn't want to be up there alone. But everything changed, and Jeannie is a mom now. And I can't believe the job that she did. Well, you read the book. Everything that we all went through and keeping it all together it's remarkable.
She did do a remarkable job. And
yes.
And your dad was out there working all the time on different films, on his TV shows. And it's actually amazing, actually, if you look at the kind of money he was making back then and what they gave him because they really, really wanted him on their network.
Right. And, on the Dean Martin Variety Show.
Yeah. I mean, he got millions and millions of dollars for these shows. And he was supporting, you know, a couple of families and a big house and everything else, but he also had time for other things, I guess, as well.
Well, but, you know, he could go play golf, and you know, and he told me, he said, Dina, he said, I work so that I can take care of you kids and go play golf. But he did so much in his life. It's absolutely remarkable to me. And right now we are in Steubenville, Ohio, at the Dean Martin Festival, which has been going on since he passed away. And that was Christmas Day in 1995. And when we came back to Steubenville, I was interviewing all of his friends here, and they were telling me everything that he had, you know, that he had done growing up here in Steubenville. Mm-hmm. And it was very enlightening to me. You know, my dad worked all of his life.
Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really interesting in the book, because I really didn't know Dean that much. I watched him growing up. Mm-hmm. and loved his music. He's one of my favorite singers ever, and I used to love his movies, too, and the TV show. I used to watch it when I was a kid. But one of the things that stood out is, you know, the drinking thing. Everybody, you know, everybody's always making fun of him for being a drunk, and that's what all the roasts were about. It was all jokes about his drinking.
Right.
But if you read the book, you know, to do what he did, he wasn't really a drunk at all. It was kind of a little character he created.
Right, exactly, and that was his gimmick. And, you know, and it served him well for many, many years. And I guess he just, he probably did it too well. And people, you know, I'm always amazed that I hear people say, oh, you know, yeah, how could he do all of that and be drinking all the time? And I said, well, he wasn't drinking all the time. That was just, you know, his character. That was just, you know, the character that he portrayed. And it was, it worked very, very well for him.
You write a lot about Frank Sinatra because he was pretty much your, you know, uncle. We have fake uncles here, and
yes.
He was kind of your fake uncle.
That's right.
And of course, his daughter Tina was one of your friends. Uh-huh. Are you still friendly with her and her family?
Oh sure. Oh, glad you reminded me. I think it's I think her birthday is coming up. I'm going to have to call her and sing to her. We adore all of the Sinatras. Nancy is a good friend, Nancy Senior,
mm-hmm.
and she's a remarkable woman. So yes, growing up with the Sinatras, it was fun, and Tina and I went to Marymount School together, and we've had some fantastic times together. I mean, we really had a lot of fun growing up,
mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, you know, to be Dean Martin's daughter or Frank Sinatra's daughter, and live that life.
Yeah. One of the things I thought was, you know, you also write about Jerry Lewis, mm-hmm. and you talked about the whole breakup, and pretty much a lot of it was Jerry Lewis's personality and some of his egotistical stuff that happened. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that he wrote the foreword, and also on your CD, Memories Are Made of This, you do a duet with him time after time.
Yes, it turned out, it's just beautiful. And that's one of the most important things I think that I have ever done that really was overwhelming for me. I had, gosh, first of all, I've just loved him all my life, and he just tickles me. When I see a Jerry Lewis movie, it just cracks me up. There's just something about his humor that cracks me up. And I remember calling him and saying, you know, I'd love to come by and talk to you because I'm writing a book. He said, that would be great. He said, I would love it. He said, I'm writing one, too. So he was writing at the same time I was. So my husband and I went to his boat. He had one in San Diego called the Samantha. And we went down. I had not seen him in a while. And we walk out onto the, the pier. And I hear him. I see this man walking towards me, but I hear him, Lady Dina. And I look, and I recognize the voice.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't recognize Jerry because he was on that medication, on the prednisone.
Right.
And it had, you know, he had gained so much weight. But he had this great smile on his face. And of course, he had on the shorts because he has great legs. And he came up and hugged me, and I see tears running down his face. And he said, oh, I see my partner. And we spent the most wonderful afternoon together and talking. And it came up to do time after time. He said, would you come on the telethon? I believe this was July 24th that we were at his house. It's our son's birthday. And so I'll never forget that day. And he said, you know, next week we'll come down and, you know, we can rehearse it and then we'll do it on the show. And I thought, wonderful. And we sat there on his show and he was looking at me and he was crying. And it was a very, very emotional time for me, but also for Jerry. And he put together beautiful, you know, videos of all the photographs of he and Dad. And he was just so, it was so touching for me. And he's a good singer.
Yeah, well, actually, he sounded pretty good on that on the record.
Yeah,
he has
a strong voice.
I was actually surprised to hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you have a nice voice too, and I assume that it's kind of tough to go into music when your dad's Dean Martin.
Well, no, you know what? It probably would have been tough if I was a boy, but so that I would not be. You know, they really wouldn't. It's not that they wouldn't hold me to the same standards. It's just I don't sound like him. You know, being a female, I'm Dina Martin, and of course I've studied, and I have, I inherited, I guess, those genes where I do have a pretty voice, but I have worked on it. So it wasn't intimidating to me in any way. It was just, well, let's get out there and do it. It was not tough for me at all.
And I must say, even that you are a beautiful young lady.
Now that's tough.
Well, no, you're a lovely lady, but in essence, you look a lot like your dad.
I do. I'm kind of mini Dean Martin. I have the same face, and I was blessed with that. But it's you know, it's tough to keep it going. You know, you have to get up and exercise every day and eat right. You have to keep the stamina up, and it was. You know, this is a tough business, traveling around and packing, unpacking, doing shows and singing and getting new arrangements and learning new songs, and it's pretty tough.
I
hear in my voice right now. I'm a little hoarse from doing shows and air travel. Of course, it's not as nice as it used to be.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, of course, you're accompanied by your husband, who's also your producer, which is, I guess, comes in handy.
Oh, not to mention, it's so nice. So I don't have to worry about him. He's right there with me. He's the one who takes care of everything, and I don't know how he does it. But he produces and directs beautifully, and he produced and directs all of my my albums and the shows, and he puts together everything, and it's just it's a godsend for me.
Now,
to be with him every day.
Are you the one that's actually putting out these the Dean Martin shows? Do you actually own these?
The Dean Martin Family Trust does. We the whole family, we do. And we put them out, and it's I think it's going to be great. You know, we have to bring all of this, all of that fabulous entertainment to new generations. And we spoke about it earlier. We don't have anything like that on TV anymore.
No, it's a shame that we can't get it on television again, on one of these retro channels.
Well, and it might be because of, unions, and it would be so expensive. It's the whole thing is you have to pay all of the musicians and the writers and the artists and everybody who was on it, and I don't know, it would probably be prohibitive, the price.
It's interesting that this is put out by Time Life.
Uh-huh, yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't really know how that happened, but we were very happy that it did, because I think it's a wonderful company.
Yeah, I mean, NBC Universal is obviously involved as well,
uh-huh.
And the Dean Martin Family Trust. So there's a number of ingredients here. Now, are these available everywhere, or can they go right to your website to order these?
Yes, they're available everywhere, and let's see, gosh, they should be in all of the stores. They can also go onto Amazon and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How
about if they go to dinamartin.com, can they order things?
Well, now I don't know that we have them available yet. We might. They can, actually, yes, if they log on to dinamartin.com, also deanmartin.com, and it's, let's see.
So I'd rather have them go to dinamartin.com, because then they can see your picture and everything.
I'm happy with that.
And they can hear some of your music and things like that.
Oh, yeah, that would be fantastic.
For those of you who are big Dean Martin fans like I am and love songs like You're Nobody Till... I shouldn't say. Memories Are Made of This and my favorite song, which is Everybody Loves Somebody. Of course, I've changed the words to that, so it goes, Everybody loves my body sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Change the words just a little bit to make it more interesting. But,
well, you know, it's funny because my dad used to do things like that. On the show and in his nightclub act. It was always so much fun for me. Or he'd do something like, I've sewn a costume to her face. And it's just, wonderful little limericks and things like that. It's cute.
Well, the music, I think, is timeless when you talk about D. these kind of songs. The Lady is a Tramp and Volare and Love Me Tender and I've Got You Under My Skin. Whether it was Mac the Knife, whether it's done by Sinatra, Bobby Darin, Dean Martin, or Dina Martin, the songs are timeless.
Thank you. I think so. And on my albums, there are such fabulous arrangements. And we had all the, of course, my dad taught me to always surround myself with the very best. So we got the very best musicians and arranger, Charles Colello was an amazing arranger, and in fact he was one of the original Four Seasons, which is very cute. And he told me, he said that Frankie Valli asked him to join the Four Seasons because he could read. And I said, Charles, is that because you could read music? He said, no, because I could read. he has such a fabulous sense of humor, but he is a wonderful arranger. And all of the songs on both albums are just spectacular. And what a difference a day makes. And I've Got You Under My Skin. So, you know, it's, I think it's a treat.
Yeah, there's a lot of name dropping here. You actually went out with some pretty famous individuals.
Yeah, I know. But we don't want to talk about that.
Why not? You don't want to talk about it with John around, but yeah. Send him out of the room, you know?
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty interesting. You've had quite a few, you know.
It's true. And, you know, so growing up as Dean Martin's daughter in Beverly Hills and going to, you know, those schools and the parties and meeting everyone, it was absolutely, you know, I don't know if people can grasp it. And in fact, I was saying in my nightclub act, and I say, you know, everybody, just for a moment, imagine, if you can, and you know, just really take a second to imagine going to Las Vegas as a teenager and having Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra as your chaperone.
Mm.
I mean, we had so much fun, but if you could just think about those guys and then going and having this incredible time, because they knew everybody. And we went everywhere, and we saw all the best shows, and it was so different then. Now we have the big extravaganzas, and it's just I don't think it's the same. When I would see Dean, you know, my dad and Uncle Frank and Uncle Sammy on the stage, it was mind-boggling. But it's absolutely true. All the people that I have met, and the things that I have done in my life. It's amazing. We were there when the Birds, recorded Turn, Turn, Turn and Mr. Tambourine Man. And, you know, and then I did the monkey show with, you know, Davy Jones and all the monkeys. And it was just an incredible life. And it still is. Now I have all these wonderful musicians with me. And Vinnie Falcone, who's playing he's the musical director. He's my musical director, and he was with Frank Sinatra for 10 years, and he still plays with Tony Bennett and Steve Lawrence and Jack Jones. So I'm thrilled at all the things that I'm able to do.
There's so many things that loop together. In fact, if people read the book, there's so many different names that will fill in here that are looped around. Like Dick, Rowan and Martin Laughing, one of my favorite shows. A lot of people may not remember it was actually released as the T. Martin Summer Show first.
Right.
And
Dick Martin and now we lost Dick a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he was a dear, dear friend. And he was over at the house all the time. And he said that originally it's because he saw Martin and Lewis in Las Vegas when he was very young. Not Las Vegas, in New York. And then he said, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, one of the things I thought was interesting is that you dated Denny Daugherty from the Mamas and Papas, who I was a big fan of that band.
Oh, yeah.
But
and just remembering Monday,
exactly,
and all of the times it was.
That was the great music was the 50s and 60s. I'm still convinced of that.
I think so. And the Buffalo Springfield, you know, played at my birthday party.
Imagine that. For what it's worth, that's unbelievable.
I know, isn't it? And in fact, we had, I had Canned Heat at my prom. So it was just like, it was a remarkable, remarkable life. And now I sit back and I think about all the things that we've done. And it's all connected. And going to school with Desi Arnaz Jr. and Lucy Jr. and Billy Hinchey, who was in the Dino, Desi, and Billy with my brother, you know, Dean Paul. And they had a lot of hit records. And I remember Dino was very young. In fact, they were all very young. They were about 15 years old. I think Desi Jr. was even younger. He was probably 14 at the time. And Dino made so much money with his hit records, he went out and bought a Dino Ferrari. And he couldn't even drive it because he was too young. But he did that, and he worked hard. And it was, you know, sometimes I just sit down and think about, you know, everything that happened and look at the all the photos in the book and all the memories in my life and meeting Elvis Presley and the Beatles. And it's just, and one thing that was really fun was doing the twist with my brother, Dino, Dean Paul, for Marilyn Monroe, and on the jukebox, it was Bobby Darin playing, singing Up a Lazy River. So I have these unbelievable memories and things that I've done in my life, and it's just...
One of the things that you talk about in here is about some of the performances that you had on stage and things where, you know, Gene was there and some of your family and stuff, but you never saw your father, and you mentioned that the trade-off we had to be content with was that our dad was Dean Martin, but he couldn't be everywhere.
I know, and that's a shame. And it really, you know, there was other support there, but he was off. You know, he had to do everything that he had to do. But it was the trade-off because he was Dean Martin. He was so incredible, and so sweet. You know, there's just something that was so nice about him. And he, you know, he was easy. And I remember Shirley MacLaine telling me that Dean Martin was nice to everyone. He just didn't want nice to go on too long. it's true, and I can understand that. And now being in the business, where I'm out doing all of this work and meeting everybody and hearing the wonderful stories about him, and I can see where, you know, it's so tough to get out and perform and do all of that. And then after, you just want to be quiet. You want to go back to your room, or you want to go home, and just not really have to talk to anybody anymore. And you have to have some of your own time, so that you don't lose yourself, because you can give and give and give, and then there'll be nothing left. And I know he was wonderful about going home and just being quiet and watching Westerns.
Mm. We're talking with Dina Martin. The book is called Memories Are Made of This, and it's available right now from Harmony Books. And one of the things that gave me chills was a part of the book where you talk about dating Terry Melcher. Mm-hmm. And meeting Charles Manson, who ended up giving you a ring.
Yes.
What a creepy thing. Oh, my, afterwards.
It was. And, you know, we had no idea that anyone was... It was bizarre when I think back. And it was, I think, 1968, and then 69, and when they came to the door, when the police came to the door, and they said, you know, we'd like to interview you and talk about what had happened, because it was such a horror. I mean, it was a horror what had happened. And it wasn't until years later that we finally went to trial. And I was very happy that I did not have to go to the Manson trial. They had me go in, I guess, for Charles Tex Watson. And it was just, it's like it really didn't happen. It's just so so bizarre and so frightening. We found out that there was a list and... all of that went on. So that's
another thing that kind of surprised me, and it was actually in the same area of the book, was your relationship with Robert Mitchum.
Yes, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm losing my voice. Well, we went away, you know, to do all those. What was it? Oh gosh, that Young Billy Young.
Young Billy Young. Yeah.
Yes, with Angie Dickinson and David Carradine. And Bobby Walker Jr., and we were at Old Tucson Street. So, yeah, it's, what year was that, 68? No, that was...
Well, you played his daughter in the movie.
No, I was the doctor's daughter.
Oh, the doctor's daughter, that's correct, yes.
Yes, Evie Cushman.
Evie Cushman, yeah.
The doctor's daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I'm thinking...
And you had blonde hair in the movie, too.
I'm sorry?
You had blonde hair, I think.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And then I went to do the next movie, and I was blonde in that, and then the red in the next. I played the doctor's daughter. I can't remember who the doctor was right now. But it was the 60s, and it was a wild time.
Everybody was smoking pot and relaxing. And
Well, I wasn't, because it would just be stupid. But Robert Mitchum, you know, and David Carradine, that was a whole different time.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, you mentioned that you had a remarkable and fun weekend together. He was intelligent, articulate, and you were young and impressionable.
Oh yeah.
And you were smitten.
Oh yeah. I hate to think about how, gosh, the years go by so quickly, but it was, it was a fun time.
Yeah, well, this book has lots of fine times, and there's also some times that weren't so much fun as well, because you tell the good with the bad.
Yes, well, you know that, and I said, you know, early on in our conversation, everybody has these things in their life that we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you just really have to. It's the way you look at it and how you react to a certain situation. And I don't think that we're ever given anything that we can't handle. If you really, if you stop and think, and if you do try to put yourself in the other person's shoes and don't be judgmental, and pray a lot that things are going to get better. Excuse me. I'm sorry about this. I'm going to have a little bit of water.
You talked about your mom Betty,
in
the book quite a bit, and you mentioned toward the end of the book here about that Jean was really your mother and had been for more years than Betty, and you mm-hmm. didn't feel much at all, but you went to see her in San Francisco and couldn't believe what she looked like.
No, I couldn't. And it was, all of her choices, that was, it's a shame that she made those choices. And I, wish that I could have helped her. And that's one of the reasons why I try to be so healthy now and, exercising and don't smoke and don't do too much of anything and just stay healthy. Because it really, she had let herself go, and it was a very, very hard time for her.
Now, you campaigned for Senator McGovern when he ran for president in 72.
Oh, yes.
Are you involved at all in politics nowadays?
No, now I'm not. I'm involved in putting on a good show and making good records and being a mom and a grandmother and a good wife, and it takes up more time than it takes up all my time. And the politics, it's just something has to happen now. I don't know who's out there that can help run this country. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Well, the book is fascinating, as I said, and folks, if you're interested in this conversation, you'll be interested in the book. It's Memories Are Made of This by Dina Martin, and it's available right now all over the place from Harmony Books. Also, don't forget the D. Martin Variety Show is also available, the best of it. You can buy it in three DVD sets. It's available all over the place, as well as Dina's CDs, including Memories Are Made of This and Volare. Great stuff, and I am thrilled to talk to you, and was a big fan of your dad's, and I am of you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and this was a wonderful interview. You know what's so nice is when somebody does their homework and knows knows what's going on, and I appreciate all of that, and really, I think that people should definitely, get the Dean Martin Variety Show, and it will just make you smile. It doesn't matter what your day has been. To watch Dad singing with Peggy Lee or Jack Jones or the Mills Brothers and to see Jimmy Stewart and everybody who's on the show, it's like a little time capsule, and it is it's a wonderful, wonderful thing
well, as,
to do for
as
yourself. Or, Father's Day is coming up, and it would be a great gift.
You're right, and people are always talking about the good old days. Well, the good old days are preserved on DVD.
That's exactly right. That's
so
true.
People can go out there and grab them. And it's been a pleasure talking to you and to meet your husband, John, as well. He's a nice guy, and hope we speak another time at some point.
I hope so, too. When I have my Christmas album come out, I'm doing a duet with Andy Williams, and we'll talk about that when it gets closer to Christmas. How's that?
That will be great. It'll make a wonderful Christmas.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
It was a wonderful interview.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to meet you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.